Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
This week, I'm doing something a little bit different, talking to two women separately. They have the same inspiration, happiness, beauty, and gratitude. Donna, and then Lauren. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Donna Vanderpool, and thank you for having me. Welcome to Sylvia and Me.
Donna, thank you so much for joining me today. And we're going to talk about something that you've started in your town, Stamford, Connecticut. But before we do that, can you tell me a little bit of your background?
My background. I'm currently a full-time student pursuing my master's of social work. I was a mental health counselor. And I'm just trying to, I guess, move up the ranks with another degree. I was an elementary school teacher in Oxford. And that's pretty much where I got the idea. I was inspired by Oxford CT Rocks. So that's...
All right. That's exactly, you know, in the situation we're in the pandemic, with being quarantined and social distancing, you know, people are out there trying to figure out how to inspire other people, how to make people smile, even if just for a little bit. So you just mentioned Stamford CT Rocks.
Yes.
All right. It's something that you started back in April.
And
so you started saying you were inspired by
Oxford CT Rocks. I was painting, I belong to that group, and they hide rocks all around the area in Oxford, Connecticut. And so I was painting when I moved to Stamford. I continued to paint and would hide rocks around town and kind of wondered if anybody really knew what that was about or why these rocks were appearing in different places. And it wasn't until the COVID crisis that, you know, I saw parents walking around and around and around the same block. And I would overhear these conversations. I spy with my little eyes something green. I see these parents for like the 100th time. And I finally reached out and said, hey, by the way, we're hiding these rocks. I would tell the kids, of course, you know, that were with their parents. We're hiding these rocks. And, you know, it'd be great if you find them, if you could hide them too. And then the parents were like, what a great idea. We're going to start painting rocks too. And so I decided to make the Facebook page in hopes that people, when they did find the rocks, they could post it. It was kind of selfish on my part too, because I always kind of wondered whatever happened to these rocks after you let them go. It's, you know, you put a lot of effort into some of them, and you wonder if it made somebody smile or not, or if anybody ever even found it. So I started writing on the back of them, Stamford CT Rocks, and people started posting to Facebook. And next thing I know, there were, it's been a little over 3 weeks, 4 weeks. There's 735 members, I think.
It's 738 awesome. Members. I looked
oh,
it up
okay.
this morning.
Great. Thank you.
I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you have, I mean, the people who are posting and finding pictures of rocks, are they the parents? Are they children? Is it all?
It's overwhelming, the response. People that have found rocks and people that are just searching for rocks have sent me messages that are just, they're very touching. Like, this group means a lot to some people. Like, some people said, I don't know what I would do without this group. This gives us, it's, you know, gives us something to do every day. The kids love it. I get mostly, I get messages from the parents, but lots of pictures with the kids finding the rocks or some of their creations. So it's always fun to see the creations when they're going out, and then when you see them again, so they always see them in a different location. So people are out there and working hard at this, I have to say. Yeah, there's a lot of posts every day.
So what are some of the more unusual places that people have hidden rocks or found them?
I've seen them in holes of trees. So it's, they're not necessarily always on the ground, but, I've seen them in holes of trees on top of, rock walls, of course. And, you know, people hide them in in places that they want them to be found, of course. But so, but I've seen them in the ivy. I've seen them down by the water. I live near the river, the Ripawam River. And so I've seen some placed strategically over there, but they're all over town. I know Harbor Point, Springdale, Newfield, all the neighborhoods are picking up on this. It's fun.
Well, for, you know, as you said, it's only been like 3 weeks and, you know, there's over 700 people who have joined the group. So, you know, in everything that we're going through now and this, you know, the total unknown, it's a release. It's getting, one, it's getting out of the house. The other, it's creativity and letting, you know, your mind just go. And I know that some of the things that I've seen on the rocks is shine, be cool, you're awesome. You started saying, you mentioned, you know, some are very poignant. So what are the, some of the more special ones or different that you've actually seen?
There've been some superheroes that's really fun. I'm more of a painter. I'm not an artist by any means. And, some of the rocks are unbelievably, the painters are so talented, it's unbelievable. So there's cottages. That reminds me, I left one at the CVS pharmacy drive-thru, as a matter of fact. I thought I was going to get in so much trouble, I got a lot of great feedback about that. The positive affirmations, I think everybody loves that. It speaks to people, no matter who you are, what you're going through, or how this is you're handling this crisis. It definitely brings a smile to your face.
Yeah. Most definitely, and as one of the parents said, you know, it gives them something to do, something, you know, that you wouldn't normally think of doing. So what do people do with the rocks? Do they take them? Do they hide them elsewhere? Are they in a collection?
So I have one neighbor who said their three-year-old has a huge pile in his bed and they're negotiating with him. So I'm hoping that they put some back into the community. People move them. Some people leave them for somebody else to find. And, you know, it's part of the fun is finding them and either rehiding it or, you know, you can keep one. If it really speaks to you, keep it. If it means that much to you, we just ask that if you do, hopefully you're painting some too, because it's very contagious. As soon as you see them in your neighborhood, you feel inspired to do the same. So yeah, it's a little bit of everything.
Okay. So, you know, we're in this pandemic now. We're going to be social distancing for quite some time. Mm-hmm. The children are not going back to school. Camps are, you know, most camps are canceled. I couldn't imagine any of them being open. Are you thinking of maybe any contests or, you know, what else as we're getting to, because I know that parents are going to be struggling to figure out activities that are not only fun for the children, but also for themselves.
Yeah, I'm open to ideas and we've played with a few ideas. I mean, I'm anticipating, I don't want to say when this is all over, because who knows when that's going to be, but so whether it's Zoom painting parties or for different occasions, you know, I'll have maybe different themes. I'd love to give prizes, but at the same time, I think every creation is so perfect, you know,
and exactly.
There have been some that are just, you know, some of the kids just throw some paint on it, just splatters, and they're just as cool as, you know, some of the artistic rocks that I've seen. I guess, you know, I'm open to ideas for sure. I've been putting some thought into it, but from a distance, I'm really struggling, you know, with what we would do. I would think about painting parties when this happens, you know, maybe go to a park and, you know, get some picnic benches and do them down there. But again, this social distancing, who know, I don't know if that's something that's going to happen anytime soon, but hopefully Zoom will help us out with that.
Well, I think so. And, you know, you could take it for like a rainy day, have, a painting party.
Absolutely.
And then the next day or, you know, a couple of days later, okay, now let's hide the rocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but I think that what you're onto is something that sounds so simple and means so much.
I was very surprised how much it meant to so many people. And I've since friends in the group, actually, a couple of people are actually in Norwalk, all over the state. They've started in different areas in Norwalk. I know I have somebody who started a painting group down in Washington, D.C. after I sent them the invitation. And then in Florida, they're painting. And so it's fun. It's just, it's spreading throughout. So it's pretty cool.
And that's another thing, considering it is spreading throughout, to, you know, get people together to almost like, remember we used to have, at least in my day, pen pals?
Yes, right. Yeah,
so exactly. Rock pals.
I'm discovering so much about, there's so many rock groups out there. So if people are interested, there's so many other, for inspiration even, and on Pinterest as well, there's a lot of different ideas, I guess, for rocks. You know, I'm simplistic for the most part, but there's some really, really elaborate rocks out there for the artists.
But you see, the thing is, the simplicity of this is what makes it so great, because it is, you know, you think about it, you're not asking anyone to be, you know, Van Gogh on a rock, but everyone has their own thing, and they're able to just express themselves and have fun. And we need that now. We need that more than ever. Any kind of inspiration, any kind of message that somebody could, you know, get out there. And again, you know, we're social distancing, but we're keeping connected.
Yeah.
And I think that is so important. And that's one of the things that you are inspiring people to do. They're staying connected and they're having fun doing it. You know, the parents, the children. So I think that what you're doing is fantastic. I love that it's catching on to other places.
Yeah,
you know, you're talking Washington, D.C., Florida. Yeah. You never know, because I got news for you. You know, social media is global. Wait until you get somebody from Italy, from England. I mean,
the rock painting, the happiness rocks, we call them, right? They're, I mean, that's been around long before I came along, so I can't take all the credit, but I'm really happy with the outpouring of, I'm really overwhelmed myself. It's amazing, some of the messages that have been sent to me. It's really sweet. I'm glad. I mean, that's the whole point, was to make people smile, right?
That's it.
It's working.
Well, Donna, I thank you so much. This has been great. And you know, anyone who wants to take a look, what is it? Stanford CT Rocks on Facebook.
Yep. And there's actually somebody in the group started an Instagram page too, for those that don't have Facebook. So it's on Instagram as well. And check out all the, you know, the creative rocks out there, the creations as well as the finds. It's pretty cool.
Well, I look forward to seeing more posts. And when I go visit my children in Stanford, I'll see about, you know, putting some rocks in fact, their niece and nephew and see about doing that. Because I think it's just a fun, innocent, you know, way of getting people to smile.
Yeah, it's been great. And actually, my 18-year-old daughter, who doesn't normally want to hang out with mom, is painting with me too. So it's been great. It's really
well.
Been
mom's
very
cool.
Nice.
I mean, look what mom's doing. I mean, come on. You know, our children sometimes, you know,
on a podcast. Then she thought I was cool, but other than that, not so cool. Not so cool. But thank you. You made me cool, Sylvia.
Donna, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This has been great. And as I said, I look forward to seeing more of these.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah. My pleasure.
My name is Lauren Zajac. I'm the Chief Legal Officer for WorkHuman. And this is Sylvia and me.
Lauren, thank you so much for being here today. And I know I'm in Connecticut and you are?
I am in Wayland, Massachusetts.
Okay, so we are socially distancing.
We are.
In the middle of this pandemic, middle, beginning, you know, 2 months have gone by all of a sudden. One of the things that really interested me in talking to you is the fact that you are a single mom, and you're a single mom of three children. And you're a full-time working single mom.
Yes,
I am. So, first of all, how old are your children?
So my son just turned 15. We had to do a drive-by birthday because it was last week. And luckily we have wonderful friends in the town and family that drove by with signs and balloons. And even though he is at the age where that was embarrassing, he actually liked it secretly. So my son is 15 and I have twin girls that are 12.
Okay.
And going on 21.
Oh, well, of course, yeah, 12-year-old girls, what do you expect?
Right.
All right. So as I said, you're a single mom, you work full time. We get the information 2 months ago, sometime in the middle of March, that schools are out. They didn't know how long. And then 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, we find out that schools are out for the rest of the school year. What was your reaction and how have you been dealing? How did you deal with it at the beginning?
First, I cried. you know, honestly, my children have been great. I think what's amazing is, and maybe it's part of the journey that we have been through, the four of us, over the last couple of years, but my kids, all kids are really resilient. My kids are no exception to that. But they've been tremendously resilient and really good spirited during this whole thing. In the beginning, when we didn't know when school was going to come back in, one of the things, I mean, I was trying to, as I'm sure you do, right, string together multiple Zoom calls and lock myself in the office and not have the dog barking and somebody knocking on the door and two of them fighting, which always seems to be the case. I deputized each of them with maybe like a little area of the house, right? My son really likes to vacuum. He's probably embarrassed that I would even say that, but he does. So he was in charge of vacuuming. Two areas of the house, the main areas of the house, and every day he would do that. My daughters each had their own responsibility, and that's kind of how we got through the times where I was locked away in the office or couldn't talk to them. And then as school kind of came on, that got more challenging. We certainly, I think kids of any age are hard pressed to stay on task and do what the teacher's asking online.
Well,
mine have been challenged in that regard. But you know, we've stuck to some structure, but the rest of what I've done is really kind of what I believe in, which is to let all of the other stuff go, right?
Okay. So you have, you know, the three children home, you've given them, deputized them with different areas and so on. And now school is closed and they're homeschooled, which, you know, very few people decide to homeschool. It's a decision you make, not a decision that you are basically thrown on you and forced on you. How have you been able to, you have twins, so they're in the same grade, and you have a 15-year-old, two different structures as far as school goes. So how have you been able to set that up and kind of monitor while you're working?
Yeah. It's been a challenge. I will just say that, you know, physically I made sure that they each had their own space and that they could get on and deal with the technology that they needed to. One of the things I've tried to do, and admittedly, like many of us who are juggling 1,000 things, I was not great, before this whole pandemic hit at carving out time for myself. I actually have an EA who I haven't seen his face in a long time, but I miss it. Who started about a year and a half ago, and his ultimate goal was to carve time out for me during the day, to take a walk, to get a breath, to eat lunch, right? So I kind of took a page from his book and said, I'm going to push back. I can do this many hours of calls, you know, be it 4 or 5 a day. I carved out chunks of time. One of my daughters gets up and wants to do her schoolwork right away. I don't know where she came from, not from me. The other procrastinates, and then the 15-year-old is kind of all over the place. So I've tried to kind of limit my time and then say, okay, mornings are for you, Maddie, and afternoons are for you, Jilly, and Harry, when we sit down and work on projects, it's really when you kind of get the urge and have the drive to do it. So I've just tried to carve out space during the day, and I've had to really limit the amount of time that I'm on calls, and that's a hard thing for me, but I'm getting better at it for sure.
Well, you know, that's something that as parents and as, you know, people who work, whether they're parents or not, we wind up getting involved in our work and don't even realize when time has gone by. Maybe when we get hungry, we need lunch. Maybe if we're meeting someone for happy hour, we, you know, remember what time it is. But I remember when my children were growing up, I didn't even remember when there was a half a day school, and all of a sudden the school would be calling me, you know, you're supposed to pick your children up. You know, you start, you get involved, and that's, you know, the same thing with children. They start getting involved. They're on social media and so on. So that's another topic. How they're Zooming, they're online with school, and I'm sure they're online with all types of social media. How do you even monitor that, or do you need to? I mean,
I will tell you that pre-pandemic and post, you know, mid-pandemic, there are two sets of rules. I mean, I sort of made reference to letting a lot of things go. That has been my mantra for the last couple of years as I created a kind of a new life for myself, is to let go of a lot of things that I thought made a good mom and made a female exec successful. I've done the same thing here, right? There were certainly rules about social media use and how much time they spent on their phones or on the TV. I have honestly let most of that go. In monitoring, one of the ways that I do is just check in with them in between calls and during our homework time. And we always have had a rule that they share their phones, so they know that anything that's on their phones, I can take a look at. I mean, from my perspective, that's the only real way, like unless you're monitoring 24/7, how can you possibly stay on top of it? But I think I've certainly given them leeway to do more things online, to do spend more time on their phones, and encourage them that, you know, if the time is making TikToks, maybe you shouldn't do that all day long. But if you're getting on, right, if you want to FaceTime your friend who lives down the street who you can't see because of social distancing, then spend an hour doing that. And I don't care if you're watching a movie together, at least it's social time. So I think it's just a balance. It's like anything else.
So how are they dealing with the fact that they just can't go outside and meet with their friends, and whether it be play ball or just chit chat, go for a walk, go for a run? How are they dealing with that?
You know, it's touch and go. There are good days and bad days. I think what's really interesting is I've seen a lot of posts about, you know, spending the time to teach your kids life skills. What's great about my son is that he's always been very handy. And we moved into a house that it was built in 1950, and probably lots of things weren't updated from that point to this about 3 years ago. And we have spent, he and I have spent, and I partially try to model, right? We're the four of us are kind of stuck at home. I'm not the handiest person, but I'm like, all right, we're going to fix all these things. So he has spent a lot of time outside, you know, fixing things in the yard and building a hammock and those kinds of things. He's been handling it fine. I think the girls, you know, having more social connections, having different groups of friends, they're feeling it more. And the only way that I've seen to solve that is just to try to get us outside every day and try to engage them in same kind of activities, right? What are you interested in? One of my daughters is really great at painting. So I'm like, okay, well, here are some furniture that really needs to be refinished, and like, have at it. I don't care what it looks like. Just pick whatever paint and do your thing. I think the more time, and luckily the weather's getting warmer, so the more time we spent outside has helped, but it's a challenge. I think they're missing it a lot, and I'm seeing it.
It's a big challenge. And, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, in some ways it might've been better had this pandemic kind of come around, you know, the end of summer, and then we would have been used to staying in and social distancing. Now we have summertime where, you know, it's not only youth and young adults that want to get out, it's the parents also.
Yeah.
Adults who want to go out.
Right.
And all of these, I don't care what anyone says, all of these, you know, summer activities are not going to be what they were, if at all.
Right.
So it's a huge challenge. How do you stay socially connected with friends? I mean, I know what I do.
Yeah. It's funny. I work for a company that is called WorkHuman, and it's very much about human connection. And I know lots of companies are doing wonderful things. For me, especially being a single mom, spending a lot of time at work, having a lot of my friends at work, For me, part of my socialization has been with my work friends, and we're doing a lot of, okay, let's finish this call at 4:30 and then let's get on and just, you know, chat and maybe have a cocktail. So I'm doing that. I'm getting to know, what's interesting about this whole thing is I'm getting to know at a deeper level more of the folks that I saw every single day in a different way. The other interesting thing is this whole Zoom cocktail hour trend has brought me together with a bunch of friends that frankly I was just too busy to get together with or see on a regular basis. And so I've seen their faces more in the last couple of months than I probably have in the last 3 years. So that's for sure keeping me sane and connected, but it's certainly not the same as in person.
No, it's not. But as you just said, you started having Zoom cocktail hours with people who you haven't seen in a long time, which, you know, one of the things that I know you talk about a lot is gratitude, and we have to be grateful. We have to take a look at some of the smaller things, and some of the smaller things are connecting with some of the people who we haven't connected to in quite a long time, or connecting on a more frequent basis than we would normally do. Mm-hmm. So tell me, what are your thoughts about gratitude?
So gratitude is a huge part of my life. It's a strange place I find myself in, that the confluence of the things that sustain me personally and at work kind of come together in what I do every day at WorkHuman, which is a company that's trying to bring gratitude to the workplace. But gratitude is really the thing I think that got me through the last 5 years, right? A 17-year marriage that dissolved and ended in a pretty acrimonious divorce, and becoming a single mom of three kids and moving to a new town. And moving to a new house, which has been a labor of love, God love it. Gratitude for me is right. I was always into yoga and meditation, even in kind of college, and interested in those things. I think because of my work at WorkHuman and watching gratitude play out in the workplace, it was certainly something that I said, you know, maybe I should incorporate this into my meditation today, or maybe I should think about it at the end of a yoga practice. It is really, from my perspective, the only thing that has helped me to sort of take the pause that we need to take, to step outside of, oh, woe is me, and oh, like looking at the past and feeling negative, and in fact, spread positivity by recognizing or giving gratitude to someone else. And it, for me, it has been the platform to move forward to say, here's what I'm going to focus on, which are, you know, even if it's, oh, it's a bright and sunny day. Like, let's start from that place instead of, this isn't where I expected to be. This isn't who I wanted to be. Those things weren't helping me. And for whatever reason, gratitude for me, both I think because of the work experience and then obviously what it did in my personal life, has been a founding basis for moving forward and creating a life that's more authentic and real to me. It's interesting that I'm able to, during the time of pandemic, sort of express gratitude for relationships that I've had, like this folk group of folks that I hadn't seen for a very long time. They've always been part of my life, but it gave me an opportunity to say, you know, I'm really grateful you guys are in my life. And it allowed us to kind of deepen that relationship. So I think gratitude as a practice, gratitude as the basis for life, can really help us all be more present, more authentic, and certainly have a more positive outlook.
Well, especially in these days, we've lost so much as far as life as we knew it is not, in my estimation, it's not coming back. Whatever form it comes back in, it comes back in. But to be grateful for what we have now, for, you know, to be grateful for people we're meeting, the health that we have, the freedom that we have to be able to think good thoughts. I mean, we might not be free to go wherever we want, and who wants to right now? Crowded spaces and so on. So for what you're talking about, it's so important. It's important to help people get through. I refuse to call it a new normal.
New normal, yet, right?
Because we don't know what it is. We're right. Still in the middle of figuring that out.
Right.
So and that's the whole thing. Each day, it's a new day. It's the first day. It's a great day. To your point, being grateful for being in the moment and looking around and seeing what you have, not what you don't have, helps a lot, can be a great start. So do your children have the same philosophy? Have you hammered that into them? Do they understand?
I try. For sure. Yeah. What's interesting, I think it's, I totally agree with you. I think especially now where we're at, but I certainly have used the same practice before now, taking a moment to feel grateful for whatever it is, right? The people in your life, the fact that you have a roof over your head, causes us to pause. I think one of the things that we're all sort of reeling from is the frenetic pace of life before this is not the same. So for me, before, taking those moments to pause and just being grateful for a person or for an experience, was the antidote to this constant wheel of motion and frenetic pace that we were all in. I certainly have tried to bring it to my children. When we first moved to this house and we were in a new town and my son was moving into a new school in seventh grade and my daughters were nervous, I had had such experience and such a great experience using gratitude as a mechanism to sort of create positivity and to look forward to things that I brought it to them. I do gratitude journaling. I certainly didn't expect them to do it, but I introduced it to them at dinner and suggested that at the start of every dinner, we should sit down and just be grateful. Say what we're grateful for. Your teacher helped you, or your friend said your hair looked nice, or I'm really grateful that I have this outfit to wear. It doesn't matter what it is. And as you can imagine, they were not particularly happy with the practice in the beginning and rolled their eyes and made some comments. But I kept at it. And we do it just about every night that we sit down for dinner. And we certainly have done it quite a bit during this whole situation that we're in. Now, if I forget to do it and we're sitting down for a meal, inevitably one of my children will say, Mom, we didn't do our gratitude practice. So if there's any win in parenting for me, it is that, because if I had only known at 12 and 15 that I should start my day or my evening with a gratitude practice and imagine what that would do for your life, I feel like that's a win for me.
That's great. And what a great message. It's a, for now, for what we're going through, for what the future. I mean, that is the message that, hopefully people do take away. Yeah. Because we're in a situation which is an unknown, uncharted waters. I give you a lot of credit, three children on your own after a long marriage and now in the middle of this pandemic. It's not easy.
Oh, it's not easy.
We manage. I'm going to say, as women, we do manage. And if the guys want to say something, okay. But we do. We, a lot of times, are supposed to take on more than we think we can. And we do manage. So, Lauren, I want to thank you. This has been very, very interesting. I also know that with gratitude. Do you have someplace where people, if they want to learn more about how you've done this?
I am working on a book about gratitude, and I have a website, and the best email to use for me is Lauren Zajac, Z as in zebra, AJAC3@gmail.com. That's connected to my whole gratitude movement and my hope to be one of the voices of gratitude going forward.
Well, I'm glad I could introduce this to a lot of people because I think it's a time that we could really use it. So, Lauren, I thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. This was great fun.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking to another extraordinary, inspiring woman who has made her mark on the world. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform. And of course, our website, sylviaandme.com. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to keep up with the latest episodes. Review, rate, and take us with you wherever you are. I want to hear from you. If you know of an extraordinary, inspiring woman, please contact me at sylvia@lifeofprey.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay safe. This has been a Life of Prey production.